This is Conrad Thompson from What Happened When Monday with Tony Schiavone and Something to Wrestle with Bruce Prichard, and you're listening to the Two Man Band Podcast on Chairshot Radio and 12 Ounce Sports Network.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Sports and Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Big Rick. Thank you for joining on today's episode. And that's exactly what NFL free agency is right now. It's this fucking jungle with all this shit going on. I can't recall the last time it's been this chaotic. I think I said that last year, and then I think this year trumped last year. A lot of shit to get to. And we have a guest on, Clayton Windsor from the podcast. BSR is going to join us, along with Brad. We're going to discuss everything NFL free agency, how it affects the teams, how it affects fantasy football. We're going to talk some March Madness, our brackets. A few games have already happened. Loyola has upset Miami in the first round. Your boy, Big Rick, had that upset. So thank you very much. I have a perfect score as of right now, 60-60 on ESPN. I want to thank our sponsors, FanDuel.com, FanDuel Weekly Fantasy Sports. No season-long commitment. Go to FanDuel.com. Enter promo code SBFFC, as in Southern Bluegrass Fantasy Football Championship. That is SBFFC. 12-Ounce Sports. You can find us on 12OunceSports.com, TheChairShot.com. We have some news coming down the pike probably for next week. We're joining a new sports network, and we're approaching a record-breaking downloading for the 2MB Sports podcast. We're about to hit a mark. I assume we're going to hit on this episode, and when we do, you will hear about it on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at 2MB Chairshot. That's at 2MB, as in two-man band, at 2MB Chairshot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit the pause button. I'm going to get Clayton Windsor on. I'm going to get Brad on. We're going to talk everything NFL free agency, some March Madness. Tiger Woods, is he back? I don't know. We'll find out. See how he did today. Again, this is Big Rick, 2MB Sports Fantasy Podcast. All right, and we're back. Welcome back to the 2MB Sports and Fantasy Podcast. Clayton is still at work, so if he could join us later, I'm sure we'll be on the show, Brad, for a good hour and a half with everything we have to discuss. All right, so let's just break it down, man. First off, Brad, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
I was telling everybody in the pre-show that we have a we were just added to a new sports network. I'm not going to release it till it's official. We're coming up on a record number of downloads, which I hope to get on this show. And Tiger Woods is back.
Oh, golf is so much better when Tiger Woods is there. I mean, my goodness, that's, you know, there's a certain people, like when they leave a sport, like, you know, NBA took a hit when Jordan kind of stepped back. You know, those type of bonds, when Bonds left, you know, the home runs weren't as big, man. When Tiger Woods, I felt like golf was just the old man's game again.
Last I heard, I was on Twitter and he took the lead, if I'm not mistaken, at the Arnold Palmer. Here it is. Tiger finished. Damn it. It was right there and I hit it.
I don't think he won it.
No, it's still going on.
Oh, okay.
Let me search. Tiger Woods. Of course, find us on Twitter at 2MB Chair Shot. First round, 68. He's in the first spot.
That's where he's the most dangerous, is when he's in the number one spot. If he has to try to make a comeback, I don't know if that's good for him. Him being in the number one spot and everybody's chasing him is really good for him and where he wants to be.
To take the lead, Brad, he sunk a 71-foot putt.
I saw that. I mean, he looks like
incredible.
I've watched some of his shots he's made over the past couple days, man. He looks to be the old Tiger Woods. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he started finally leaving them blondes alone, you know. And
well, let me go ahead and play it for everybody that's listening. This is the 71-foot putt from Tiger Woods.
Point, he's far surpassed our expectations of how well he was going to play.
He was 300, and this is
from 71 feet.
Even Tiger looks shocked at the moment.
I'm telling you, like, those are the shots that made him great years ago. And him back doing that is just a great thing.
I hope he's back. Golf better hope he's back, because I think it's obviously it's good for Tiger, but it's also good for golf. Like, I wasn't watching last weekend the Valspar, but when I heard Tiger was taking the lead or tied for the lead, I turned it on to check it out. And I think a lot of people did that. And that just shows you, no matter what he went through, man, we all go through shit. But when it comes to his task, his trade, there's nobody better at golf.
No, I mean, I remember watching. I mean, that was, you know, when they'd have the Sundays in the final round, man, just sit back and watch the final round with Tiger Woods in it and his red shirt, you know, because he was going to put you down. When he wore that red, it was intimidating. And he was going to, you know, just watching him, and it was just amazing.
So, all right, tournament bracket, NCAA. Have you kept up with it? Loyola upsetting Miami.
I didn't do a bracket. I was watching a couple. Excuse me. I was watching UNC Greensboro. Almost got the upset as well. I mean, there's been some close ones that are Loyola beat Miami. Who was somebody else was on the bubble?
Let's see here. Tennessee beat Wright State. I had those. Loyola Chicago beat Miami. I had that one. Ohio State beat South Dakota. Gonzaga beat UNCG, which was almost the upset you were talking about. Over on the other side, Duke. Duke won, of course. Oklahoma lost to URI.
Yeah,
Oklahoma
that was one.
Was lucky to even be in the tournament. Kansas beat Penn. Let's see here. And I think that's it. You're going to have some more games tonight, but nobody.
Yeah. I mean, because I know, like, Dickie V, man, he wasn't even happy that Oklahoma was in there. He said they didn't deserve to have that bid. It should have been Oklahoma State instead. So to see them go out, it's kind of deserving.
I'm tied for first on the ESPN overall from 6 million brackets. I'm tied for first.
There's only been, like, three games that's been played.
It doesn't matter. I'm tied for first on the ESPN bracket challenge. So...
You know, if they start paying out now, you'd be fine, but...
Yeah, yeah.
How many people you tied with? 5 million?
Actually, out of the 6.2 million brackets that were done, I'm tied with 1.8 for first. But I'm in that 1.8, baby. So, this is the best I've ever done.
So is 1.799999 people as well.
They got lucky.
They got lucky.
All right, so NFL free agency, man. We started hearing rumblings a couple weeks ago. Of course, nothing became official until yesterday. I had all these notes written down that I found this website. It's called yahoosports.com. I don't know if you've heard of it. But they have everything broken down into positions. So we're just going to go down the line, man. And we're just going to give our thoughts, give our opinions, tell you what we think of everything, how it affects the NFL, and how it affects fantasy football. So let's just jump. Let's go straight into the quarterbacks. Of course, Jimmy Garoppolo goes to San Francisco. He's a five-year deal, $137 million last year. I think they finished the season 5-0 with him as their starting quarterback. So nothing surprised there. That already happened. But Kirk Cousins, 3 years, $84 million deal with Minnesota. Brad, I want you to tell us what you think. I want to look up Kirk Cousins' stats from last year. So Kirk Cousins signs with Minnesota officially today, $84 million on a three-year deal.
You know, I saw something the other day that they were talking about Kirk Cousins and why he was a better why'd they pay that much money to Kirk Cousins when you had Case Keenum, who did it, you know, just as well last year. And they started breaking down like some of the throws that Kirk Cousins made versus the ones that Case Keenum couldn't make, you know, and so they felt like that was the upgrade for Kirk Cousins. You know, I think Kirk Cousins is, you know, I think he's overhyped. That's my opinion on him. I mean, it's not like he hasn't had weapons in Washington. I mean, he had DeSean Jackson. He had Pierre Garçon. You know, he had Jordan Reed, Niles Paul. I mean, he's had guys.
A top 12 defense in Washington a couple years.
And a very good defense, and he still hasn't been able to get it done. I mean, he's basically taking, you know, he's taking over a Minnesota team that's an NFC championship team. They're a good team that can make a run. This is a true test for him. I mean, if they don't do as well, it's a Kirk Cousins thing.
I'm going to tell you why I hate this. Kirk Cousins, he threw for 4,000 yards last year, 27 touchdowns. Brad, you're paying – I think he's now the highest paid quarterback. Is he not? I think with the incentives, it's $128 million in 3 years.
Okay. So then that would put him there.
Okay. This is coming from a quarterback who's never won in the playoffs, ever. I don't understand why NFL teams are paying quarterbacks based on potential as opposed to what you've done in the past. If you go to your job tomorrow and they say, Brad, I think you can do a great job. I'm going to give you a $50,000 raise. That's not how the fucking business works. The guy has never won a playoff game. This is, I think, the best year he's had. Like you said, he's an average quarterback at best. He's done nothing to deserve the $84 million. But you could say the same thing about Bradford. You could say the same thing about Stafford. But, I mean, what is it with the NFL paying these quarterbacks based on potential? I mean, that just chaps my ass, man. Fucking yeah, I mean, we're paying you on potential, not on what you've done. You've done shit in your career, but we're going to pay you. I don't get
it. You know, you mentioned that, but also think about what Jimmy Garoppolo got. Started five games. Granted, I know he won all five. But at that time when they paid him, he was the highest paid quarterback with, what, 5 years, like 130-something million?
But they're paying him on what? Because why? Why did they pay him that? Because
no,
he sat
right.
behind
it's...
fucking Tom Brady. Well, four other quarterbacks sat behind Tom Brady, and none of them are in the fucking league right now.
No, but you think about, see, the NFL, the NBA, they all work a little bit different. Like, once after that, you have to pay them. You know, we don't get paid 4 years in advance. You know, when we don't sign a contract when we work that says there's 4 years. You know, these people do. So you, when you sit down, you know, if we did that, we would be like, well, I think I can do this in the next 4 years. And then they would rate you along that line. But I get what you're saying about the quarterbacks there. I think they're being overpaid right now. I think maybe that's more of what I get upset about is you're overpricing these quarterbacks. So a perfect example is, you know, anybody that knows us knows we're Saints fans.
Which we're going to get into a lot later. So.
That inflated Drew Brees' number for the Saints, which I think really hurt them toward cap reasons. That's the going rate for half-ass quarterbacks. So when a guy like Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers steps up to the plate, they don't want what a half-ass quarterback has. They want what elite quarterbacks have or should be making because – I deserve well more than Kirk Cousins. I deserve way more than Sam Bradford or Jimmy Garoppolo. So it inflates the position.
I think I was listening to the podcast BSR this morning. They said Sam Bradford has been paid over $140 million in his career, and the guy hasn't even completed a fucking season. I mean,
yeah.
I don't And the guarantee is what chats my ass about Kirk Cousins. Let me ask you a question. Granted, Minnesota does what they do. Granted, Minnesota does what they did last year. Okay, with Kirk Cousins, I don't think Kirk Cousins had 4,093 yards, 27 touchdowns. Case Keenum had 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, but he didn't play, I think, two games. So you give him, just give him 300 more, give him 400 more yards. He's 100 yards below Kirk Cousins. Give him three more touchdowns. He's two touchdowns below Kirk Cousins. He's not going to make that big a difference. The only difference I see out of Minnesota next year is Dalvin Cook coming back.
But you see, you got to remember, Case Keenum has been in the league a long time and has only done it 1 year. So you can kind of see, I mean, Kirk Cousins for the most part is been consistent for what he's done. Case Keenum hasn't. He's been a lifelong backup. So you could see where they feel like, hey, maybe we rode this train to the end of the railroad. We got to eventually do something else. So maybe they felt that Kirk Cousins is that long-term guy because Case Keenum could revert back to what the normal Case Keenum has been the past couple years of his career.
And let's go straight to Case Keenum. He was traded to Denver Broncos. Let's see here if it has Case Keenum. Two-year deal, $36 million. And Case Keenum's stats, last year, like I said, he threw for 3,500. The year before in the Rams, started 10 games, 2,200. Six games a year before in St. Louis, when they were in St. Louis. Two before in Houston, eight before. Case Keenum is going to go back to Case Keenum. Case Keenum is not going to have a season anywhere near what he had last year. I don't give him 3,000 yards passing in Denver. I think it's an upgrade from what they had. Do I think they will be eligible for the playoffs? I don't know, man. The Raiders are getting better. The Rams, I don't know. I just don't see Case Keenum or Kirk Cousins making that big a difference on either team.
Well, I see Case Keenum making a bigger difference for the Broncos than
Kirk Cousins in Minnesota.
Than Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. I mean, you think about other guys that got signed. We know we forgot with the whole, you know, Alex Smith left Kansas City and got traded to Washington, which leaves Patrick Mahomes now at quarterback at the Chiefs. I mean, this is a big quarterback carousel this year. When you start to look at guys in new places, Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum, A.J. McCarron, Sam Bradford, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, Alex Smith. I mean, these guys are moving. It's going to be interesting next year to see how some of these guys pan out. To me, you know, I look at a Teddy Bridgewater deal. That's the same thing as they had with Geno Smith over there. I thought that was just, you know, a bad deal there. They just put themselves further in the hole.
I remember that main event group we were in. But it was nothing but Louisville people, and they said Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the next god in the NFL. No. Teddy Bridgewater was never going to be successful in the NFL. He's never going to be successful in the NFL. And that's it. A one-year deal, $5 million with the Jets. He's not going to be with the Jets after a year. So let's go back. A.J. McCarron was signed, I think, today or yesterday, two-year deal with Buffalo. Not an upgrade from what they had in Tyrod Taylor. Drew Brees, go ahead.
No, so I'm. You know, this is the tricky thing. You know, we're looking at this one, but this is just guys that signed. You know, we missed the Tyrod Taylor trades. That Yahoo doesn't really get those trades on there.
Yeah, so Tyrod Taylor got traded to Cleveland. All right, Cleveland went 0-16 last year. Over under, Brad, even though they have Jarvis Landry, they have Carlos Hyde, who was traded, they have Tyrod Taylor, four games. Over or under for the Browns next year?
What'd you say, four games?
Four games.
I'm going under.
I'm going to say three games. The Browns are going to go. They're going to win three games next year. 3-13.
No, I think they go over because they were really close this year in a lot of games. I think we looked it up. You know, a couple days we were talking and how close they truly were to winning some games. I think they got blown out once, and now you've got Josh Gordon back again. Back to, you know, have a full training camp along with Jarvis Landry and Tyrod Taylor, who's going to manage the game a little bit better than I think that you had before. So a lot of the mistakes that were made by those quarterbacks for Cleveland last year, I don't think make a whole lot this year. Is Tyrod Taylor the savior in Cleveland? No. I think they still go out and get another quarterback, and then they keep improving. I mean, if you think about what the Browns have done, we played Madden when we were kids, and we'd go and we'd trade all of our damn players for draft picks and, you know, try to build this great team. I mean, Cleveland's doing the right thing. I think they're going to slowly improve. Then 1 year, they're going to be like the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're going to be in your face, you know, competing in the playoffs.
So with the first overall pick, they traded for Carlos Hyde. Cleveland did.
And no, they signed him. I think they signed him.
They signed Carlos Hyde. They traded for Tyrod Taylor. So that's the quarterback and the running back situation that we all thought was going to be Saquon Barkley and possibly the second best quarterback.
Yeah.
So what does Cleveland do with the number one pick here? Do you still draft a quarterback and, A, let him start over Tyrod Taylor? Or, well, Hugh Jackson came out and said that Tyrod Taylor is a starter, came on Twitter. There's no doubt about it. He's going to be our starter in 2018. So if they draft a quarterback, you're assuming, unless he just outperforms Tyrod Taylor to a T in training camp, that he's going to sit behind Tyrod for a year.
Yeah, I still think that regardless, you let him sit behind Tyrod Taylor. What happens with a lot of these freaking quarterbacks? Especially in Cleveland. You know, and not to, you know, when you think about a lot of these guys that ran these run pass options in college, and they're like, you know, Jackson that's coming out, like a Teddy Bridgewater, like a Geno Smith. These guys ran a lot in college. They need to sit and develop in a system for a little while before they take over the reins. But what happens? They toss the guy right in there, and you're trying to keep him from running the ball, make him a pocket passer all at the same time, and it just doesn't work. This, you let whoever you draft at this point just sit and wait behind Tyrod Taylor. You're not going to win a Super Bowl next year. I think we can agree on that. Am I right?
Yeah.
So why are you in a rush? It's a long-term goal. It's a long game. So you have to, you know, you look at it for 5 or 6, 7 years down the line. Let him sit for one more year. Let him freaking sit one more year. Then you start to see what happens if he's progressing and getting better. You don't start him right away. I think that would be the big mistake for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they're talented now. They've got a good running back. They've got two good receivers. They've got a good tight end, a decent, capable quarterback. They're going to win some games this year.
Drew Brees was signed to a 2-year deal. It's actually a 1-year, $27 million deal with an option from the team to bring him back. I think we were talking about this Tuesday. Let's talk some Saints here, okay? Saints fans, talk some local talk here. I think since 2006, we've had Drew Brees at the helm. Since 2006, we have, I don't want to say taken advantage, but time has flown, Brad, to have an elite quarterback. We never thought it was going to happen. It happened. We've had one for 12 years. I think the realization is starting to kick in that we only have a year or two max left with Drew Brees at the helm for the New Orleans Saints. He will retire as a Saints, as he should. If he wins a Super Bowl, okay, he's going to pass. He's 2,000 yards away from passing Peyton Manning from the all-time passing leader in the NFL. We already know he's a first ballot Hall of Fame. He wins another Super Bowl. You putting this guy in the top five of all time, he's going to have more NFL records than any other quarterback. He's going to have two Super Bowls. He's first ballot Hall of Fame. Are you putting him in the discussion for top five of all time if he wins another Super Bowl?
I think you have to. I think the one reason he's not really talked about now, I mean, because everybody talks about Dan Marino as a top five quarterback, and he doesn't have a Super Bowl. But Drew has had some really, not statistically for himself, but his team have had some bad years. You know, you look at Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning won two Super Bowls.
Won one Super Bowl.
He won one in Denver.
I'm thinking Indianapolis. Yes.
So, but at that point, he didn't have a lot of bad years. He was always in the playoffs. He was always contending for an AFC championship. Brees hasn't done that as a team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's hard to put him in there right now because of that. I think he breaks the records. He gets a second Super Bowl. He's most definitely a top five QB.
And again, when you talk about, you know, Manning always had a top 15 defense.
No, he didn't.
In Indy. They were all no. Dude, I'm telling you. I'm looking it up.
I'm telling you.
They were always they were always in the top half of the NFL. They were never in the top 10, but he had a defense. But like you said, Drew can't play defense. So, and when the Saints have had ranked 31, 30, 29, 28 defenses throughout his career, like you said, it's going to be overlooked. His accomplishments as a quarterback is going to be overshadowed because the Saints are not in the playoffs consistently. But the Saints made some moves in the offseason. They did some trades, and I'm pulling this picture up on my phone.
And let's be honest. You know, you think about the division that the Saints were in. They always had Atlanta who could compete.
Yep.
And Carolina. He had Jacksonville, who was the pit of the league when he was in Indianapolis. The Titans, who were always you know, and then the Texans, who were always kind of toward the bottom. You know, he gets to Denver. Oakland was a joke at the time. San Diego was still, and they could never win the big one. And Kansas City is kind of, You know what I mean?
Yep.
He went to two good divisions as well.
So the Saints made some moves in the on defense here. I got a burger. I've got a pre dinner Whopper. Anyway, so of course we have Marshawn Lattimore. He was ranked 4th out of 121 last year. Okay, with an overall grade of 90.5. We have Ken Crawley, who was ranked 39 out of 121 with an overall grade of 81.6. We pick up Patrick Robinson, who comes back to New Orleans from Philadelphia. He was ranked 6th at his position, Brad, out of 121 with an overall grade of 89.8. Kurt Coleman, we got a strong safety from Carolina. He was ranked 76 out of 120 with an overall grade of 47. Not a strong point there. But then we have Marcus Williams, who was ranked 11th. So
I think the Coleman's going to be more of he's just a depth at the position,
yes, correct,
for him.
So
because we lost Vaccaro.
So we have the 4th ranked, the 39th ranked, the 6th ranked, and the 11th ranked defensive back in the NFL in our defense this year. If the New Orleans was ever posed for a Super Bowl, this is it. Not to mention, Ndamukong Suh has come and talked to New Orleans. I don't like him, but I think, like we were talking about, we have 2 years with Drew. We have to win a Super Bowl with one. We're poised for it. We have the running game. We have the offensive line. We have the defense. Screw it. Get Sue in there for a year and get that defensive line a little help just to make a push.
Yep. So I agree. And so here's what's even worse. You know, what were the top four teams in the NFC last year?
Top four was New Orleans, Minnesota, Philadelphia, and
the Rams.
L.A. Yes.
So the Rams go ahead and trade for Aqib Talib from Denver. They're getting stronger. You think what Minnesota does by going get Kirk Cousins. I mean, then you turn around and you look at guys like the Eagles picking up Daryl Worley, another cornerback. You know, these other teams are only getting stronger as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like the Saints made good moves, but the other teams made moves to stay where they are on top of the NFC. Like, I think they've separated ourselves from them. I mean, Philly signed Haloti Ngata for another defensive lineman on an already strong defensive line. You know, I don't think that we're doing – and I think they're separating themselves from us, especially L.A. and Philly. And so I don't know. It's going to be – we got to get some other help, one on offense and then defense.
Philadelphia, they re-signed their linebacker Wednesday. That team, Brad, re-signed all 11 starters on defense. And until Philly loses it, I think you have to say Philly is the favorite again for the Super Bowl. Re-signing all defensive starters, that's crazy.
No, I agree. I mean, that's why I said, like, they're doing stuff and then adding pieces to their lineup. We're just not doing enough. Like, I think we agree. We either need another offensive weapon, either a tight end or receiver, and we got to have another big guy in the middle. You know, and if we don't make those moves, I don't know if we can truly compete. It's wasted. We wasted money. You know, yeah, great. We signed Drew Brees for, you know, $50 million over 2 years, and he's going to retire a Saint. That's great. But we didn't do anything to help ourselves catch up with the other NFC teams. Signing Drew Brees is great, but if we can't improve our team to continuously compete, what good was it signing Drew Brees?
All I know is it's going to be a long draft. We only have 2 picks in the first 3 rounds. We traded so whatever we do, we're going to have to make noise in the first round.
Didn't we trade up? I think we traded up last year to get Kamara.
We did, but we traded and went to San Francisco.
Yeah. So, sometimes I worry about our front office with the Saints and the things that they do. And, Drew Brees deserves the money, deserves to retire as a Saint. But sometimes you would hope that some of these guys would be like, wait, hold on. You know what? I don't need $29 million. I've made $300 million. why can't I just let me go with, you know?
I think Drew could have gotten more.
I think he could have too.
I think he took the 27 with the mindset of we need to spend this money elsewhere, because he could have easily said, look, I want 35, 36, or I'm not coming back.
Well, but that's the thing. He could have done that, but he could have also said, hey, I'm going to take 20, but I want you to go out there and get Sammy Watkins. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He could have taken less and said, I want you to go out there and get – I want you to make a push for the one of these three guys. I want them on our team. I think they could help us. He could have done that as well.
I agree. So Mike Glennon gets signed 2 years, $8 million deal with Arizona. Also Arizona signing Sam Bradford, who we spoke about. $20 million, dude, for a guy that has lost more games than he's won, for a guy who's never played in the playoffs, for a guy who has never completed a season. $20 million. What the hell is Arizona thinking? Let me see. Where is Arizona drafting? Arizona's drafting 15th.
I think I saw somebody had Baker Mayfield going there.
You could have drafted a quarterback at 15. I mean, what are you expecting out of Sam Bradford that you haven't already seen from his 7 years in the league?
No, I'm with you. I think that they're kind of in trouble. But I, like we said before, I think a deal like Sam Bradford is what drove up the Drew Brees deal. I mean, we know Sam Bradford ain't worth $20 million. What has he done that Teddy Bridgewater hasn't done, who got $5 million?
Sam Bradford, you know, shouldn't be in the league. Sorry.
Oh, neither should Teddy Bridgewater.
I agree. Jake Cutler's still out there. Fitzpatrick re-signs 1 year, $3.3 million with Tampa Bay. Tom Savage signs a deal to back up Drew Brees in New Orleans. Chase Daniel leaves New Orleans and signs a 2-year, $10 million deal in Chicago to sit behind your boy.
Trubisky. So, once again, why would you pay $10 million. I'm just looking at this from Chicago's side. Once again, we talk about quarterbacks being overpriced. Why would you pay $10 million for a backup who's 31 years old, who's probably not going to start for you, when you could go get a, you know, Tom Savage for $1.5 million, you know, or keep Mike Glennon for $8 million, who already knows a system? You know, those are the things I look at. Or Ryan Fitzpatrick, 3.3. I mean, why would you go out there and sign that guy? Because he sat behind Brees and you think he can bring something to the locker room?
Potential. That is why he got the $10 million, because he sat behind Drew half his career in New Orleans. So, Le'Veon Bell, let's move to running backs. Or anything else you want to talk about as far as quarterbacks?
No, I think I've said enough on them bastards.
Them rich bastards. Running back Le'Veon Bell received his tag by Pittsburgh. He's going to receive, I think it's 19-5.
I'm curious to see what happens here with him, because he said he wasn't coming back.
I don't blame him.
What? You going to pay that guy over $20 million?
That, dude, you tagged me last year. Give me a damn deal. You know what? Last year I called him a crybaby, but you want to tag this guy? This is the guy that should be under a 5-year contract for Pittsburgh. And you're still tagging him? You're fucking around with him by tagging him?
He's turned down, if I'm not mistaken, I think he had turned down like $17 million. If I'm not mistaken,
he wants a long-term deal, and Pittsburgh's not giving it to him.
But that's what I thought it was, and you know, somebody could correct me, but I thought it was a long-term deal with like $17 million a year.
Dude wants 20, bro. He wants quarterback money.
You don't deserve. But then you see fucking Deion Lewis. Well, $20 million a year, no, you're not going to get. That's the problem. So you know what you do? If you're at Pittsburgh, you fucking trade him for the number one pick and get Saquon Barkley. You're going to get Saquon a lot cheaper. And then, I mean, you had James Conner who ran well for him. That's what you do. You know what? I don't need to fucking pay you. I'm gonna trade you to the New York Football Giants and let your career die there.
Snort cocaine with Odell Beckham in hotels in France with hookers.
That's right. And then I'm gonna get Barkley. Fresher legs, newer guy.
I'm not hating that idea though. Not hating that. Deion Lewis signs a 4-year deal with Tennessee after Tennessee releases DeMarco Murray, once again proving its allegiance to Derrick Henry. So, you have Henry and Lewis. We know what Henry can do. We drafted him last year in fantasy. All right, we know his potential. Does Deion Lewis interfere with that at all?
No, I don't think so much. I think they're, I think every, you know, everybody's kind of seen the new and improved with what Carolina did with Christian McCaffrey, the Saints did with Kamara. Everybody's looking at these little third down shifty backs. I think Tennessee will do something like that, put him in passing downs, and he'll catch some balls. I mean, you know, Danny Woodhead's been, he's going to be a Danny Woodhead, what Danny Woodhead's been doing for years. Nothing spectacular, just catching 70 balls a year, you know, for 1,000 yards. That's what Deion Lewis is going to be. I don't think he takes away from the everyday, every down, just ground and pound that is the Tennessee Titans.
Carlos Hyde, as we said, 3-year, $15 million deal with Cleveland. I like that signing. Cheap as well. He's only 27. McKinnon, I'm not hating the McKinnon deal for 4 years, 30. I think 30 is a little bit too much with San Francisco, that is. I don't think McKinnon will be there in 3 years.
Yeah, so I don't understand. Like, McKinnon really hasn't proven anything since he's been in the league. And he's, I mean, he sat behind AP. He's not like he hasn't had his opportunity to prove and he to take over, and he hasn't done it. So why would San Francisco go spend extra money on McKinnon when they could have signed Hyde for less? I don't know. Like, I'm not, obviously, I'm not a GM for some of these teams. But I would rather keep a guy in-house that knows the offense, that, you know, he's a very good running back. He's proven he can be a very good running back, than bringing in a guy for more money that is unproven and really hasn't shown it.
Isaiah Crowell, like you said, 3-year, $12 million to the Jets. I think that's exactly what McKinnon should have got. I think Crowell is more productive than McKinnon. I think those two should have been swipped as far as the money value. But I want to see the Jets get an offensive lineman. You know, I want to see the Jets help Crowell, because we know what Crowell can do when he has offensive line help. You know, he's not that running back that'll get you the 100 yards a game off of pure grit and talent. He needs a little help, but we know what he can do when he has it. But I'm not hating that deal. Rex Burkhead re-signed a 3-year deal with New England. DeMarco Murray, still a free agent. Woodhead, still a free agent. Gore, Sproles, Alfred Morris, Blunt. AP was recently released by Arizona. He was talking about wanting to go play in Houston. Who was it that got signed by the Raiders? Doug Martin. Was signed by the Raiders today. You liking that move? You liking what your boy's doing over there?
We're
going to get there, but I don't want to forget, because this isn't updated, but Jordy Nelson was also signed to the Raiders today as well.
Yeah, so I don't know offhand. I mean, I don't want to play the ignorance here, but is Marshawn Lynch still there? Was he on a 1-year deal, or is he there still?
I'm not sure.
Let's see. Marshawn Lynch contract. This was Marshawn Lynch, Raider, probably $7 million in incentives.
Well, it doesn't say he's a free agent, so I'm assuming.
No, he's not. He goes, reported Marshawn Lynch could earn $5.5 million in 2017 and $2 in 2018. So Doug Martin's just another backup to that.
Sorry about the dead air, folks. I'm looking. Jonathan Stewart went to the Giants. Whatever. Alfred Blue, still a free agent. Jeremy Hill, free agent. Shane Vereen, free agent. Chris Ivory signed 2-year deal with Buffalo, $5.5 million. Oh, here it is right here. Doug Martin signed 1-year deal with Oakland.
Yep. I mean, we think about some of these guys out here that have, you know, been productive. I mean, there's still a lot of guys that could, you know, when we talk about fantasy value, end up in the right spot. I mean, you got to think, you know, Jeremy Hill, you know, he was a productive guy for fantasy. He falls in the right spot. Somebody gets hurt, that dude takes over, he's going to shoot up. I mean, there's still a lot of, from fantasy perspective, still a lot of guys out here that could contribute on the fantasy football side if they get signed in the right spots.
Any other running back news that we're missing?
I don't think so. I think that was it.
Let's go to wide receivers. I think the biggest one is Jarvis Landry signed a 1-year deal with Cleveland for $15.9. Didn't they do a long-term deal, or is that still in the works?
No, I think that may just be it. I think they want to work on a long-term deal with him.
Do you see Landry with Cleveland after a year? I tell you what, if he has a good year, if he has a better year than last year with Tyrod Taylor, the guy's going to get paid somewhere.
Oh, he will. And I could see Cleveland being the one that pays him. I mean, you know, I think it's what they do in the draft and what he does this year and how he kind of fits into the system if he remains in Cleveland. I mean, because you think about
some of the contracts that, you know, what Robinson and Watkins and those guys got, if he has a good year, man, he could pop up and, you know, get paid a lot. Like, I think he's a guy, like, if he'd have ended up in New Orleans, that guy would have put up huge numbers, and he would have had a, you know, he would have signed a major deal with somebody.
See, I don't understand why receivers don't do that. Let me go to a team for 1 year.
Well, no, he was traded. He had to play under this contract.
I'm talking about in general. In general, I don't know why receivers don't do that more often. Go to a team with a great quarterback, get the numbers up, get the big contract. Anyway, Jarvis Landry, 1,000 yards receiving, over or under next year in Cleveland with Tyrod Taylor.
He'll go over 1,000.
89 catches.
I think that's a push. I think it's right about that.
Allen Robinson was signed to Chicago, 3-year, $42 million. He was supposed to be the star receiver in Jacksonville last year, got hurt. You think Chicago made a good deal there?
I do. I think that they needed the help at the wide receiver spot. You have Cameron Meredith coming back from an injury. He's going to be kind of like Alshon Jeffrey was for him. I think he'll be productive if Trubisky can do, you know, improve from last year to this year. I mean, they still have Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, little scat back out the back. I mean, they've got some talent there that'll help. You know, but we look at these contracts once again. You know, maybe Jarvis is going to hold out and see. You know, Allen got $42 million, Sammy Watkins $48. I mean, hell, Marcus Lee got $34 million. Paul Richardson, who was a spot guy in Seattle, got $40 million. So Jarvis Landry comes out and does well. You're right. Somebody's going to pay him, and he's going to break that $50
million. See, like you said, Sammy Watkins. Let's talk about Kansas City for a little bit, man. Sammy Watkins, Patrick Mahomes. We don't know what he can do. All we've seen is a little bit we've seen from him last year, I think in the preseason. They talk about him being a gunslinger. I think this guy is better than what we're going to expect from him. Does that make sense? I think he's going to not only exceed our expectations, not only meet our expectations, but exceed our expectations. You have Patrick Mahomes.
Whoa, let me stop you. Let me stop you then.
Okay.
What is your expectations for him?
Playoffs again. But I think this is where I think they have the talent to exceed my expectations. Let me refer.
I want to know what. Give me some numbers. Toss some numbers out. Let me hear what your expectations are for him.
For him or for the team?
No, I want you. You know, you said exceed his expectations.
I think he'll throw for 3,500 yards, and I think he'll rush for 700, 600 yards. I think when you have that, and you have Sammy Watkins at receiver, you have Hill at running back, and who's their tight end? What's his name? I can't think of the guy.
Kelsey. Kelsey.
You have the talent, Brad, but you want to know the one factor Kansas City that's keeping me from saying they're going to make a deep run in the playoffs?
The Walrus?
Andy fucking Reid.
I've been preaching that for years. Nobody ever listens to me because I've said the same thing.
Keep talking about this. I want to look at my stat.
Because I think we had talked about this early last year. I don't trust him because they always seem to fall off. He can never seem to get, you know, win the big games. You know, when we talk, you know, Alex Smith, great year last year, 4,000 yards passing, 26 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, passer rating of 104.7 on the year, and they couldn't get over the hump. I mean, Patrick Mahomes isn't going to touch those numbers. I guarantee you the turnovers go up because of him. So how are the Kansas City Chiefs going to be any better than they were?
I'm looking up. I think you have to. Kansas City had the 28th ranked defense last year. But Kansas City, for them to make a run, Andy Reid has to change his tactics. Got to change his coaching style, man. And that defense has to be in the top 15.
And then Don Terry Poe's gone now. That's your big guy
That's
in the middle.
Thing. I think Patrick Mahomes will do very well. I think that offense will be a top 10 offense. Let me see offense. Kansas City from last year.
You got Kareem Hunt.
They were number 5. They were the 5th ranked offense last year. You give a complimentary defense with that, you give them a top 15. You give them 13 through 20. I think the team makes the playoff run, but I don't know because you got Andy Reid. Let me ask you a question. How much is Andy Reid stopping that team? What percentage of that team's success, that there could be success, is being hindered by Andy Reid?
I don't know. You know, there's something about the guy, the same thing about Marvin Lewis. The guy's win but they don't ever seem to win when they need to. They're just quarter guy. You know, he's turned the franchise around. He's done a great job with Kansas City, but I think they've gone as far as they can with him. I don't see he doesn't seem to have. I don't know. Sometimes he just looks like a dumbass out there. Like, he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Like, I don't know.
You can't hinder this offense, man. You got to let him go. He didn't last year. They're the fifth-ranked offense. I think they'll stay in the top five. But you got to do something. I don't know what he has to do. But as the season goes on, Andy Reid's coaching gets worse. Yeah, I don't know what he has to do. But he has to change something for that team to make. I'm looking forward to watching Kansas City again. I think they'll be in the top five offense again. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be great. I think this offense, especially now with Sammy Watkins. Oh, by the way, Sammy Watkins, who was it? What two guys had Sammy Watkins being a breakout star?
I don't know, Brandon Murchison?
No, I think it was us. Weren't we the dumbasses that reached for him in the second round his rookie year?
Yeah, we've reached for him a couple times.
So we knew he had something in him.
He does, and I don't – this is going to be interesting because I think Mahomes is going to turn the ball over way more than the four times that that Alex Smith did.
Ten turnovers over under.
I see him being like a 20-20 guy, 20 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. You know, that's kind of what I see out of him. Now, once again, when we talk about Andy Reid hindering the offense, is he going to scale that playbook back to fit Mahomes, and then that offense is going to drop? That's the thing. But you can't do that with the guys like Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins. Those guys are explosive guys. They're big play guys. You can't hold them back. So it'll be interesting to see what Andy Reid does with the addition of Sammy Watkins. I have a feeling they're going to go defense heavy in the draft because I feel like the offense is set.
Well, let me just point something out to you. Have you heard anything about Tampa Bay this offseason?
Yeah, they re-signed Fitzpatrick and they let Doug Martin.
So no, you haven't. Have you heard anything from Atlanta?
No.
Have you heard anything from Carolina?
Yes.
What?
They signed Dontari Poe today. Was it today? They traded for Torrey Smith from the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
They've done about what we've done.
So back to my point, New Orleans and Carolina are going to be the two teams, I think, that you're going to have to watch out for again in the NFC South.
I agree.
Jordy Nelson. Let's talk Jordy Nelson, man. The Packers release him. I don't think they consulted Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers sent out a few tweets. He liked a few tweets pretty much saying, without saying, that it would have been nice to know what was going on. Packer fans complain we're not active in free agency. They get in free agency, and then they let their best fucking receiver go. I don't. When he came back from his ACL injury, Brad, do you know what receiver led the NFL in touchdowns?
Probably Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson. I don't understand my point of view, and then we'll get to yours. I don't understand why they let him go. I don't know. Maybe you could shed some light on the subject.
So they've got – there's some young guys. I mean, Jordy Nelson's he's an old guy right now. Let me see. Where is he? 32 years old.
He's not that old.
Last year he had 53 receptions for 482 yards. Now, with that being said.
Hold on. That's with?
Brett Hundley and half of Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. Now,
so
look at, who's the other receiver that broke out for Green Bay?
You have, I just drew a blank on him. They have Randall Cobb is still there.
Yep, no, not him.
Devontae Adams.
Not him. It's the other one.
And there was another. I don't remember who the
third
guy was. That's
the guy that broke out because of Hundley. I think, Brad, if you still had Rodgers all year, I think the Packers win the NFC North. But I think Nelson has 90 catches, and I think he has 800, 900 yards.
Oh, I agree. But so now that we're talking about Nelson, and I know we've brought this up before, why the fuck are you going to go to Oakland?
Car, baby.
Why?
Car, baby.
No, car's overrated. We showed it again last year.
Not this year, baby. Let me tell you something.
The guy's got no.
I am a car whore. I am going to stick with car until I can't stick with him anymore.
Okay, and that's fine. So if you're Jordy Nelson, why don't you go to New Orleans? I don't know, because I know New Orleans was in the mix. Maybe they weren't going to pay him a whole lot. So why don't you go to New Orleans?
I don't. Know.
I would imagine Drew Brees is a better quarterback than than Derek Carr, is he not?
I think New Orleans had a better opportunity for a Super Bowl than Oakland, especially with the addition of Jordy Nelson.
Correct. So why don't you go to some places that are that's like that versus?
That's what I was talking about earlier. I don't know why these receivers. If he goes to New Orleans, he catches 80 and 1,000, even with Michael Thomas. I'm telling you right now. Now on the flippity flop. Green Bay, for all you fans out there that listen, we have some downloads in Wisconsin. You better have a running back that can block. Because if you have Jimmy Graham on that field in a passing situation and he has to stay in and block, Aaron Rodgers is getting hurt again. Let me tell you, we had Jimmy Graham in New Orleans for years. He was great. He was great. But there are several times Drew Brees got sacked because of Jimmy Graham. He cannot block. I like the addition of Jimmy Graham, especially in the red zone. They needed that target in the red zone. But, I mean, Brad, essentially you get rid of Jordy and you get Jimmy Graham. So it's that simple.
Seattle, it took Seattle a little while to figure it out. They didn't even put Jimmy Graham on the line. When Jimmy Graham was in the game, it was a passing situation. And he was not lined up on the line to block. He was more of a fat wide receiver is what he was. Because they knew he can't block, he's a liability, so we can't have him on the offensive line was awful as it was in Seattle, so Jimmy Graham just made him that much worse. So they started using him in, you know, three receiver sets, put him in the slot, bunch formations, because he is still a mismatch. If Green Bay does that with him, he's going to have a good season. But if they, like you said, if they expect him to line up and even on a play action at a tight end, dude, they're in trouble.
Wide receiver Ryan Grant, who reached an agreement with Baltimore. This is breaking news. Not really sure how important it is, but he failed his physical with the Ravens, and his deal is null and void. So Ryan Grant is no longer with Baltimore. Crabtree is scheduled. He has been released. He's scheduled to visit Baltimore Friday. Miami's bringing back quarterback David Falls. I don't know. Who gives a shit? And then let's talk about this, man. Saints owner Tom Benson passed away a few minutes before we went on air at the age of 90.
Yeah, I you know, he's been instrumental. He was big on bringing the Pelicans back. He was big, you know, keeping the Saints in New Orleans. I'm not sure what's going to happen with him passing away and if his granddaughter or whoever takes over the ownership.
If you're not too familiar with the situation, his granddaughter and Tom had a long legal battle. Essentially, I don't want to joke about it, but we thought she was trying to kill him. She was trying to take over both organizations under his belt, claiming he was mentally unstable. I mean, it was a mess for a while, but now that he's passed away, I don't know. I mean, Brad, and I told you this Tuesday, once Drew leaves, if we don't draft a quarterback to sit behind Drew, especially now that Benson is gone, he's no longer in charge, I don't know the intentions of this granddaughter. Chances are she's going to get the team. I don't know what type of ownership she is, but dude, we have a perfect storm coming for this team to be a disaster for the next several years after Drew leaves.
We do, and we don't.
Is the only thing that's given me hope.
I don't know, man. Mickey Loomis has made some dumbass decisions, you know, over his career too. I mean,
yes, but it's not as bad as Cleveland or Cincinnati.
No, it's not. But you know, the thing is. You know, Drew Brees, what, 37, 38 years old? You've known for 6 years, six, 7 years, that you needed a quarterback. You know, I know they tried to get the Grayson kid, you know, a couple years ago, gave him a shot in the second or third round, didn't work out. But I don't think the Saints, like, Loomis is spread too thin because he's the damn GM of the Pelicans, too. Yeah. He's got to give one of them up because,
I agree.
You know, this was the first draft that they've had in a very long time that has been successful.
Yep.
That the guys have panned out. You know, oh, for an overall draft. I mean, they've had guys that have worked out, Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas from other drafts, but this was good.
Consistently, if they can round for round.
Yes. If they have another draft like this and they're able to get a quarterback, they can set themselves up to really not take a big hit as they're passing through. But it has to be dealt with delicately and it has to be done correctly. And with Loomis, half his head in basketball, half in football, I don't know if he can truly do that.
Raiders signed, of course, we said Jordy Nelson, but the numbers are out. 2-year, $15 million deal with $13 million guaranteed.
Oh, I think I'll be honest with you. I think Jordy helps Amari Cooper out more than it does Jordy Nelson.
Yes. Would you like to hear some punter news?
Punter? Sure. They're fantasy football gods.
I just scrolled past it. I'm looking at Adam Schefter's Twitter to make sure nothing has broken since we breaking news since we started. And Domica Sue tells Adam Schefter that he had a great phone conversation with Pete Carroll last night. The Seahawks are very excited about Sue.
But how long does Pete Carroll have? That organization has fallen to shit.
Dude, just he's like the 72 same way. Years old, man.
But that's the same thing that happened at USC. That's why he bolted at USC. USC was going downhill, and he bolted faster than anybody.
Yeah, I give Seattle another year or two. Russell Wilson needs to get out.
But this is what they, you know, I had seen something on Seattle like 3 or 4 years ago when they were in their prime about they made so many great draft picks and got them these late round picks that stepped up when the contracts were going to be starting to renew is when they were going to be in trouble. And that's what you're starting to see. They don't have enough cap room to sign everybody as these guys are getting older and the run's coming to an end. And you could see the same thing starting to going to progress with New Orleans. They've had so many good draft picks, and if they have another good class, when those contracts start to run out, they're not going to be able to sign everybody.
Jimmy Graham, 3-year, $30 million deal with Green Bay. I said I like it, but you gotta know how to use them. Let's put it that way. Tyler Eifert re-signs 1-year, $8 million deal with Cincinnati. Austin Seferian Jenkins was re-signed to Tampa. I think I saw.
He started in Tampa, but then he
went to the Jets. And then now he's back in Tampa. 1-year deal.
No, he went with Jacksonville for 2 years, $10 million. He went to Jacksonville.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
I think gives them another. I mean, when he's used right, I mean, you saw what he did with the Jets when they used him. He's a talented tight end.
And as of now, man, that's a lot of stuff for free agency. That's.
I mean, it's been a busy free agency so far.
Yes, it has been. So, fantasy impact from this, man. Jordy Nelson, let's start with quarterbacks, okay? Kirk Cousins, would you entertain the notion of drafting him as your starting quarterback? Of course, this is all from this point forward until I say over. We're talking fantasy-wise, fantasy football. Kirk Cousins, are you comfortable with him as your starting quarterback in Minnesota with the weapons they have, especially with Dalvin Cook coming back?
So I will draft a Kirk Cousins in a late round, like an eighth round, and go back-to-back quarterbacks is what I would do. And I would play matchups for a while until one of them pans out. So if I'm sitting with Kirk Cousins as my starting quarterback, that means I have loaded up on skill position players and have the depth. You know, we've done it. We did it with Stafford 1 year.
Yep, and you know, we waited. Went off.
And that was the year he went off. You know, we went Stafford – then I think we went Graham and then went another quarterback right after that. You know, we took that, and I'm okay with a Kirk Cousins, but you won't see me draft a Kirk Cousins any probably higher than a seventh or eighth round. It depends on the run on quarterbacks. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I'm going to toss it back to you.
Okay.
Do you sign Kirk? Do you draft Kirk Cousins over Case Keenum?
Yes. 100%. Because at least you know consistently Kirk can put up anywhere from 38 to 4,900 yards. Case Keenum, that was his first year last year, putting up anything over 3,000.
Do you draft him over Sam Bradford with a Larry Fitzgerald and a David Johnson coming back?
Yes. I'm not touching Sam Bradford. I'm not touching Sam Bradford because he's going to get hurt.
You draft him over Garoppolo?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what Garoppolo can do. I don't count those 5 games. This is the new season. I think I will take – if he's there, I don't think Garoppolo's going drafted. I think he's going undrafted in a lot of leagues. If he's there in the 15th, 16th, 20th round, I'll take him. And I'll keep him on my bench. And I'll be comfortable with a Kirk Cousins and a Jimmy Garoppolo.
I mean, if you're looking at these guys that are on the list that are new to have new homes, you know, I'm drafting – if I have them on the team, I'm drafting 3 quarterbacks. Normally, I only draft 1 if I'm drafting high. If I draft a Breeze, I'm only drafting Breeze.
Yep.
You know, but if I'm going that way and I'm loaded at the top with skills, I'm going to draft 3 quarterbacks to be on the safe side.
I'm going to throw this at you for the main event. Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo.
What do you mean? Who am I drafting?
No, would you feel comfortable with that in the main event?
Yeah, I would. Like I said, if I got him in the eighth round, I would feel good leaving the draft with Cousins, mainly Cousins and Garoppolo, knowing what the rest of the team looks like. Okay. I mean, it's got to be, you got to be loaded. I mean, you're talking eighth round. You've probably got three running backs, three receivers minimum, and a tight end. I mean, damn, I mean, you're almost, you're sitting with super depth. And we all know, you know, quarterback is a dime a dozen. It's those, you know, we noticed it this year. David Johnson went down. Mm-hmm. We struggled for a while until Kamara picked up. So I would rather have four running backs and Kirk Cousins than a Drew Brees and David Johnson, because in case, like we had this year, he goes down, we're in trouble.
I don't know how accurate this draft is. I'm trying to look. Okay, then this has to be accurate. A fantasy football calculator, it was all computer. I'm not going to put a lot of stock in this, but number one overall, David Johnson, yay or nay?
I mean, I could see it. I don't know if that's who I would take.
Let me get back to this page.
Well, it's hard to say because you don't know exactly if you're going to take Le'Veon Bell if he's going to sit out. I mean, I would probably go Le'Veon first.
So, according to this, David Johnson, Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott, Kareem Hunt, DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown, Lena Fournette, LeSean McCoy, Melvin Gordon, Odell Beckham. That's your first round.
Yeah, I tell you what makes me nervous right there is Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt. I don't know if Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt are going to produce the same way they did last year. I mean, it all depends on how the Saints use Kamara. I mean, exactly. The defenses can now plan for Kamara. They have a whole season to plan for what Kamara can do. And I know he still creates mismatches, but you know the one thing I always go back to when you talk about adjustments, 1 year the Saints burned Seattle. The next year we played them, what did they do? They made the adjustment and moved Earl Thomas on Jimmy Graham because he's a big physical safety instead of having a linebacker on him, and they shut us out. That's the adjustments I think people will make looking at Kamara.
This is what scares me. Second round, 12-1, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman, Dalvin Cook, Keenan Allen, Mark Ingram, Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill, first quarterback off the board, Deshaun Watson, A.J. Green, Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Howard. I'm going to start with I really like Dalvin Cook. I don't know if I like him the fourth overall pick in the second round.
So do me a favor. Give me the next four picks to start the third round.
Third round reversal or snake?
No, just give me the first. I want to look at it as a third round reversal, but just look at it the normal draft right there.
Devontae Adams, Travis Kelce, T.Y. Hilton, Carlos Hyde, Jarvis Landry.
So think about those guys right there. You're really looking with our third round reversal, man. I mean, it's...
You could possibly have... All right.
Let's go with the 11th pick, people. Here we go. This is what Ricky and I talk about all summer.
This is what we do all the time. All right. We're sitting at 11th. We're going Gordon, Beckham, Howard, or McCaffrey. I'm sorry. Gordon, Beckham, Thomas, Julio, or Freeman, or Dalvin Cook.
Let's just go Beckham.
All right, Beckham. So we go around. We can get Beckham, Julio. Are we doing Beckham, Julio?
So how do you not go Beckham, Julio? To me right there, that's it.
In a PPR league, exactly. How do you not go Beckham, Julio?
I'm roster baiting underneath the table after those first two picks.
March 15th, baby. We have already started.
So Beckham and Julio, and then you're probably going to end up with a Carlos Hyde maybe as your third, or you skip it and you go Landry, and then you're sitting with those three as your wide receivers, three guys that can catch 100 balls.
So let's just say we go Beckham, Julio, Landry, okay?
All right.
Coming around, these are our running back options. Miller, Alex Collins, Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry.
So I would probably not recommend going three wide receivers. But, I mean, at that group, you have to go Henry because he's going to be the guy. He's getting the opportunity this year.
Okay, but how do you pass up on Landry, Beckham, and Jones?
I don't think you can. I mean, it's tough.
Are you telling me you're going to – hypothetically, I'm not actually asking you, but you have a chance to go Beckham, Julio, and Landry. Are you going to give up that trio for Beckham, Julio, and Hyde just to have a running back?
So who else is – give me the next couple picks out of the third round.
Okay, so Adams, Kelce, Hilton, Hyde, and Landry were five. Then he goes Baldwin, Gronk, Saquon, Adam Thielen, Rodgers, Nelson, and Ajayi.
I'll be honest with you. It depends on where Saquon would land that I would probably may consider moving him up a little bit.
All I know is, if this is accurate, well, of course, nothing is accurate. Nothing is guaranteed in fantasy football. Ever, ever, ever. It got to the point one year we had a guy get so drunk he drafted a kicker in the first round. And it fucked the whole draft up.
I remember the guy, one year the guy, it was Amir Abdullah's rookie year. He took him with the third pick.
Yeah, you just can't. But I'm just hypothetically, Beckham, Jones, you get Landry, you have to go Landry. I don't think you can substitute Hyde for Landry.
And then no, I don't
and
think
then you'll deal with your running back situation the next couple rounds.
Because at that point, I'm probably going, if I've gone receiver, 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 I am now waiting for the Kirk Cousins in the seventh, eighth round. And I'm going running back, running back, running back, most likely.
Yes. Jared Goff, comfortable with your quarterback?
He's another Kirk Cousins. I'm drafting quarterbacks right around him as well.
This is what I find interesting. Dak Prescott in the 11th. Stafford in the 10th. Carr in the 11th. Alex Smith in the 12th. Mahomes in the 13th.
Maybe where did Breeze go?
One, two, three, fourth overall, middle of the fifth, behind Rodgers, Wentz, and Watson.
Rodgers, Wentz, and Watson.
It went Drew, Brady, and then 2 picks later, Russell Wilson, and 2 picks later, Goff and Newton.
See, I don't know, but I'm not taking Goff over Newton.
No, I'm not taking either quarterback, period. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for Stafford in the 10th at that point. If I miss Kurt and Jimmy Garoppolo was drafted in the 7th round here, so maybe I am underestimating Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't know. I mean, you know, Goff did throw for 3,800 yards and 28 touchdowns.
How many yards?
3,800.
Who's their receivers?
It's going to be Robert Woods and your boy, the little white guy we had on our team last year.
I should remember. There's only about two of them in the NFL.
His roommate. If somebody is on the other side of this listening is yelling his name at us right now. I mean, freak. Oh, well, let me see.
We got a lot of dead air.
Yeah. Cooper Kupp, man.
Cooper Kupp. Yeah. Let me see where he was.
They still have Pharaoh Cooper, who they drafted a couple years ago, that's still young, that's going to step up, and Tavon Austin. So, I mean, they still got a decent amount of receivers there.
Cooper Kupp, first pick in the 9th round. In front of Benjamin and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, I think that's about right.
Schuster.
I think that's about right. I think Benjamin is going to be helped out by Torrey Smith and Funchess. You know, well, Funchess had a good year last year, too. I mean, I'm with you. I think the Torrey Smith signing in Carolina is going to help Cam Newton more than it helps Funchess or Benjamin.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, man, anything else you want to add to free agency, man? We got an hour and 8 out of it coming up. You know, we have the draft next month, which I'm looking forward to. And I'm actually considering, depending on our work schedule, if we could possibly what's the draft last? About an hour and a half? The first round?
Shit! Fuck! It's like a 5-hour thing, man.
Not the first round.
Yes.
Are you
yes.
sure?
Yes. The first round is usually, you're looking at about 3 hours.
Okay, I was going to say let's do a live show, but I'm not doing live for 3 hours.
Because you got to think, they do 15-minute picks, and most of them take the whole time. And if there's a trade, I think the clock resets.
Clock does reset.
So you could. That's why it lasts so long. And I'm anticipating that the Browns are going to put out feelers for that number 4 pick and see if they can't grab a couple extra picks, you know, to help themselves later on. They're going to start doing the Patriots, you know, the way they Patriots do is, you know, we'll just trade our first round pick and get some more seconds and a first next year.
Anything else you want to add to this, man? I know we got, like I said, we got the draft coming up. We got as soon as the draft's finished, I'm going to have to sit down and calculate the weeks we have until the season starts, so we could do our divisional previews and our picks for the season. We still have, I mean, we got a lot to talk about, man, especially with football. I'm looking forward to it, man. I think I'm looking forward to this year. Hopefully we do good and we can go to Vegas next year. So,
yeah, you know, so this year is going to be another tough year to evaluate because there's so much talent moving teams to understand, you know, what's going on. So, you know, I think that it's going to, once again, we'll have to do a little bit more research ourselves like we normally do and pay attention to, you know, other things. But it's going to be tough. You know, you're going to have to be smart when you're drafting this year, because you want to add a little bit of consistency with your risk. You know, like we just said, do you take Landry in the third? I think you can afford to take Landry in the third because you have Julio and Beckham in front of him. You know, those are the things that you got to be careful with, because we don't know. He is in Cleveland. He has Tyrod Taylor. It's a new offense. How are they going to gel? You know, those are the things that we're going to have to keep an eye on when we're, you know, putting out our predictions for fantasy football this year.
That's it, man. Well, Brad, we got through another episode, and I'm hoping this episode hits that download point to where I can make the announcement next week for a milestone of downloads.
Nice.
I don't know who the hell really wants to listen to it that much, but they do.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. I mean, if we're just talking about football, you know, we got college baseball coming up, you know. March Madness, hockey. I mean,
speaking of baseball, LSU lost. You saw that they split with Hawaii. They got their ass kicked. Game one.
Yeah, but somebody, Hawaii is a pretty good.
Ay, shit, man, we're ranked. Anyway, I've been keeping up with LSU softball. They're doing really.
I see that every time I turn around, you're watching us. You must be liking the girls in the tight pants.
Number 8. That's all I gotta say. I have found her on Facebook and Twitter. And she accepted my friend. Anyway, so, Brad, thank you for joining us, man. For joining us through the coast of the show. Thank you for showing your ass up and doing the show. Anything going on this weekend with you?
Let's see.
Homework
so,
and wrestling?
Homework? No. Well, I'll be watching the NCAA Wrestling Championships. Saturday night's the finals on ESPN. I'm telling you, it's pretty exciting. I mean, I know most of you guys watch that fake
shut up
bullshit pansy stuff, but this is the real deal on NCAA. I think Landon's got a birthday party at a buddy's house. Jennifer, I think, is going back to Louisiana, so tomorrow's Kobe's birthday.
I had to say, tomorrow's your son's birthday.
Tomorrow's Kobe's birthday. I mean, I don't know. He'll be working all weekend, so I think it's just going to be me kind of chilling at the house doing homework. That's about it.
That'll work, man. You forgot your password at Twitter, so I'm not even going to ask what your Twitter handle is.
No. I can get on Twitter, but if I log out and I don't know how to get back on, I have to go through that hole.
Oh, well, what's your handle on Twitter, sir?
B. DeSell.
B. DeSell. DESSESSELLE. DESSELLE. Right? He's frozen. You're frozen. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. That's enough for this mumble bullshit. Thank you for listening to the show, 2MB Sports and Fantasy. Find us on 12-Ounce Sports, thechairshot.com, iTunes, CastBox, Podbean, Google Play, anywhere podcasts are found. Search 2MB, thanks to our sponsor, FanDuel. And, Brad, hopefully next week we'll get a show. And also, you know, we're trying to make some changes here. Like I said, we have an announcement next week, a new network. And milestone download. So thank you for everybody that's listened to download the show. We greatly appreciate it. You know, we're active on Twitter at 2MB Chair Shot. Find us. We're always putting polls out. Brad, anything else before we get out of here, man?
Nah, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, thank y'all. And y'all have a good evening. This is the 2MB Sports Fantasy Podcast. You got a big rushing down that freeway. Mess around and got locked. Life in the fast lane, surely make you lose your mind. Life in the fast lane.